Hello, listeners. It's Faith, but hopefully you know that by now. You are about to listen to Chronicles, a mini-series set in the world of Apollyon. Each episode is an account of someone who experienced the first wave of AVS. Please be aware that each of these episodes deals with sickness and death on various levels. If this is your first episode of Apollyon, you'll be okay listening, but the experience will be enhanced if you've heard the first two seasons as well as our other mini-series, Patient Zero. Transcripts for every episode are available at apollyon.observerpictures.com. Also, if you're interested in getting episodes early and ad-free, become a patron. Visit patreon.com/observerpix, that's P-I-X, for more information or to, you know, go ahead and join. Speaking of ads, there will be a few before this episode starts. We absolutely appreciate you. Thank you for being a listener.
In the climate-ravaged world of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven. Pura is a geoengineered paradise that protects its fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. In a time when the world outside is unsafe, it's vital for Pura's existence that people rally behind the purpose of the city, and Demetria Lopez, head of the city's public relations, tirelessly promotes its idyllic image. But when she stumbles on a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she's willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Ray Seahorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
I can't remember the name for it. I read it in an old book. Preppers. Preppers, that's it. My parents could have been called preppers. That's not what people called them, though. It was much worse than that. Me and my brothers and sisters weren't much better. We thought they were a bit out of their minds. In the end, it turns out they weren't.
Fatima Yasufu, age 42. Interview.
I should probably start from the beginning, right? Dad always said I got ahead of myself. I have a big family. There are five of us. Marie, Zara, Mozzie, Isaac, and me, plus Mom and Dad. I guess that really isn't big by today's standards, but believe me, back then, five kids was a lot. When Dad got his promotion, we moved into a bigger house with a beautiful big backyard. We actually all got our own rooms. Well, Isaac had the basement, but still a room, right? Mom and Dad built the shelter a year after we moved into the new house. They both said, we have to be ready for anything and everything. They both grew up in Nigeria during the extremist uprising, so they know how it is to live through turmoil. I mean, a different kind of turmoil. At first, us kids thought it was going to be a guest house because we still have family in Nigeria. It was mostly underground, so I don't know why we thought that. When we asked, they wouldn't talk about it. I never got the secrecy then, but I get a little bit now. They didn't want people to judge. And kids like to tell their friends about everything. Once it was finished, we all got to see it. It's not for playing, Mom said as soon as she opened the door. This is for emergencies only. It was when she said that we all started asking questions. But Dad shushed us and said again, we have to be ready for anything and everything. So, we heard about the destroyer the first time when it was still in Central America. My parents started stocking the shelter, not just with the necessary things like food and clothes and medicine, but they also bought more books and games and art supplies. They told friends and family to do the same, but no one listened. Instead, they whispered behind their backs or, even worse, said things I will not repeat to their faces. Everyone kept saying that it was a Central America problem. Isn't it interesting how people forget their history? The bubonic plague, AIDS, cholera, something like 6 flu pandemics and multiple coronaviruses that all started small and rapidly became pandemics. We were a mobile and social society. Even with the incredible advancements in medicine, one new strain, one new bug, it will spread as soon as someone goes to a concert, gets on a train, flies across the country, across the ocean. My parents weren't scientists, but they remembered history and made sure we did too. The first case in the States was when I was in 5th grade. I'm the youngest, so I was the only one in my family still in middle school. Mari and Mozzie were in high school, and Isaac and Zara were in college by this time. The first case was heard about in our town was at a retirement home. I'm sure there were cases before that, but it's the first one that people thought was definitely the thing in Central America. That retirement home wasn't too far from my mom's office, and that's when they started packing things into the shelter instead of simply stocking up. Dad also demanded Isaac and Zara return home, which they reluctantly did. I don't think it actually mattered where the retirement home was, now that I think about it. It just mattered that it was in our town, so my parents escalated their efforts. It's no longer coming. It's already here. That's what my mom said, and we all complained about spending our evenings packing. I'm sorry. Shea died last year, so talking about her. Yeah. It's a lot still. Grief is a fickle bitch, right? Mom would be so mad at me for saying that. She didn't like for me to swear. I'm in my 40s and still concerned about disappointing my mother. Okay. Marie, Mozzie, and I were pulled out of school by the time the 5th case was announced. I didn't even get to tell my friends. I was just all of a sudden learning from home. And yes, I definitely got teased. I don't know about my brothers and sisters, but middle schoolers are a bit more harsh than high schoolers. Well, so I've heard. I didn't go to high school, and my kids are young. So yeah, we moved into the shelter when lockdown happened. Why not stay in the house? I don't know. Maybe my parents thought AVS would leak through the cracks like water did into our garage on rainy days. I know AVS wasn't in the water, but my parents didn't know that and weren't about to risk it. Maybe it was about the shelter being off the grid. It had its own electrical and water systems. We lived in that shelter for 2 years. 2 whole years of being way too close to my entire family. When the ordinance for walling off the city was approved, we were finally allowed to go back to the house. I'm surprised it was still standing, honestly. I wonder if my mom and dad paid someone to look after it because everything was so crazy for a while there. We didn't experience it firsthand, of course, being in the shelter and all, but we weren't completely cut off from the world. We still had internet. We saw all the riots and looting. I remember being so scared someone was going to break into my bedroom and steal my toys. Of all the things to be worried about, right? I was 11, though, as expected. That fear didn't last. I'm not saying I stopped being afraid. God, no. I was afraid for years. I was just afraid of different things. Afraid that we'd come out of that shelter and the world would look like a barren wasteland. Afraid of dying. Afraid of my family dying. Afraid everyone I knew was gone. And it's hard to find out your friend's parents didn't make it. It's even harder to find out your friends didn't make it. What are you, 20, 25? You weren't even alive during the first wave. You don't know that kind of loss. Or maybe you do. I shouldn't have assumed. I'm sorry. When I was 10 years old, I had a huge birthday party. With 5 of us, we didn't get big birthday parties every year, only on the milestone ones. And 10 is your first double-digit year, so it's a big one. All my friends were there. We had hollow laser tag and all my favorite foods that I never got to eat. The cake was lemon with strawberries. Another favorite. Anyway, all the candles were lit and everyone sang happy birthday and I blew out the candles. I wish that I would get to be in that moment forever, with all my friends and family and favorite things. The next birthday party I got to have was when I was 18. Two of my friends from middle school were there, and it wasn't because they all died. I mean, a lot of them did, but it was because they didn't want to be around me anymore. My entire family had survived, and theirs hadn't. I understand how blessed I am. I really do. But the survivor's guilt is real. Even now.
This episode of Chronicles was written and directed by Faith McQuinn, featuring the voice of Marion Toro. Produced by Faith McQuinn. Editing by Faith McQuinn. Sound mixed by Joshua Sui. Credits by Matthew Boudreau. Theme music by Allison Winter. Episodes of this show and all Observer shows are available ad-free when you become a patron. Visit ObserverPictures.com and click Support Us for more information. This is also where you'll find transcripts for each episode. If you love what you hear, please leave a rating and review on Podchaser, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. And more importantly, tell a friend. We can't make these shows without you. Thank you so much for listening.